everyone, and happy Independence Day. They're saying that there's going to be some serious ramifications from wearing these masks for humans going forward. So I will take my off then. I already have big ears, so. Well, the messages today, including the announcements, actually fit extremely well in with what I'm going to speak about today. And I'm just surprised, well, I shouldn't be surprised, but God's Holy Spirit sure works through each and every one of us. And it's just never been a coincidence, even when Mark and Mark speak together, how sometimes our messages really go together so well. And just I'm inspired by God working through his people that way. But if you would, please take a look at the person next to you. And if you're at home, maybe look at a picture of somebody next to you. But I'd like you to take a look at that person. You know, that person who's sitting next to you is unique in so many ways. You know, God created people as his special creation. And, you know, we need to think in terms of that, especially in this world today. You know, my message does dovetail too as well into Mr. Thomas's sermon about hatred last week as well. As many of you know, I like island music. Lisa and I both like to listen to island music, and some of that's reggae. They say reggae is heart healthy, and so that beat is healthy for the heart and to keep your heart, that rhythm going. There's something with that that's really unique for your heart to make it healthy. Too bad that music can't spiritually make mankind healthy, right? That's what I like to see someday. But God is the only one who can do that. But I'm going to just kind of cover a little bit of the words from a band called UB40. I wouldn't play them on the Sabbath, but I think the words are quite appropriate. A little kind of little rock, not as mellow as we'd like to play on the Sabbath. But it's called 1 in 10. And it says, I'm 1 in 10, a number on a list. Even though I don't exist, nobody knows me. Even though I'm always there, it's a statistic, a reminder of a world that doesn't care. My arms in full DelQ, that meaning like a number of people collecting unemployment. It's kind of from the British people. Malnutrition dulls my hair. My eyes are black and lifeless with an underprivileged stare. I'm the beggar on a corner. Will no one spare a dime? I'm a child that never learns to read because no one spared the time. I'm the murderer and a victim, the license with a gun. I'm a sad, bruised old lady in the alley in a slum. I'm a middle-aged businessman with chronic heart disease. I'm another teenage suicide in a street that has no trees. I'm a starving third world mother, a refugee without a home. I'm a housewife hooked on Valium. I'm a prisoner alone. I'm a cancer-ridden specter covering the earth. I'm another hungry baby. I'm an accident of birth. That pretty much sums up the world we live in today, doesn't it? These words are probably 25 years old for the band, but they're still talking about a symptom that this world is suffering from. So let me ask you today, did God create us just to be a number? Are we a random chance or happening? Are we victims? Are we an accident of nature? Are we caught up in this madness world in 2020? Are you just a statistic that someone has on their list in this man-made world that we have today? But I'm here to tell you today, you're not just a number. You're not an accident. You have purpose, especially those of you in this room. You know, you're called to a purpose today. You're unique, and you're one in 7.8 billion people individually in this world today. And there's not many of us, brethren. There's so few of us. We're just one in 7.8 billion people. I don't know how many people are really true believers. Only God knows that in this world today. But it's just a handful. So I want to tell you today how unique you are. So the title of my sermon today is Your Uniqueness, Racism, and Our Calling. Your Uniqueness, Racism, and Our Calling. You know, we're called out of this world to be different. We're not supposed to be a part of the pop culture today or the culture that we're creating in other societies or new social norms. We're not to be a part of that. God set you apart to be his own. And that means to be removed from this society in the sense that we're not going to act like this society. And Satan sure has stirred stuff up. It looks like times are going to get tougher for Christians as the world gets steeped further and further into perversions and sins. And things that I never thought of that would be embraced are being embraced today. I never thought that we would get to this point, and it's going to get worse. It's truly going to get worse. Are we up to the challenge, brethren? Will we be able to handle the coming pressures from the world going forward? The pressure to hold on to what God tells us to hold on to, whether it's about gender, sexuality, marriage, love, hate, no matter what it is. God's given us instructions on every one of those points. It seems counterintuitive, but our courts in this country are legislating lawlessness. Isn't that weird? I can't believe that they are legislating lawlessness. And they're just turning a blind eye to people acting out like a bunch of hoodlums. The laws are now designed to start persecuting those who are trying to obey the law of God. They're actually being created in that direction. They're being steered in that direction. Now, obeying God will become more and more unique. And I'll ask you again, are you up to the challenge? Turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. So really what I want to focus on here is that we are a peculiar people. And we're really strange to this world. I mean, who would want to have to show self-control and constraint when maybe for a season it feels better? Just let yourself go. Hedonism, hedonistic. And we have a very hedonistic world. I mean, that's what it's heading to today. Let's take a look at you and your calling and how amazingly unique you are and how amazingly God created each and every one of us. He's obviously doing something special, isn't he? God is doing something special. With this calling comes a unique responsibility because it is different. Different from the world. We're to come out of this world, and if we're buying into the movements, my suggestion is to get on your knees. We need to get close to God. You know, we shouldn't be following the movements of this world. We're not to look to the world's solutions. Instead, we're to look to God. God's the only solution. America's falling because of her sins. And the repentance first has to start in the house of God. We need to be the example. We're the ones who should be repenting first. We need to be repentant. I think there's a call to our church to start getting on our knees more and to be that repentant example to this nation. What kind of an example do we set each and every day? You know, we have to take the lead. We're going to be the leaders in the future. We have to take that lead. We have to be repentant and changing. You know, godly change, godly love is what's going to make the difference. We're called to be the first of many that God will miraculously bring back to life at Christ's return. And what a miracle that's going to be. Think about it. I mean, all these people who have been dead maybe even for thousands of years, when Christ returns in an instant, they're just going to come up to life at Christ's return. And how inspiring that's going to be for us. And we'll be there. What a day that'll be. You know, Jesus Christ made all that possible, and God the Father, and he especially chose you by name. Every one of you. You're here and listening to this because God's working with you right now, today. You have the chance of a lifetime, and you're a child of God now. You're not in the future. Now he calls you a child, not in the future. You have that opportunity. And remember that. While the rest of the world's gone amok, you're a child of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 26. 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 26. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward that they are Christ at his coming. So that's talking about us. We'll be some of the first fruits at Christ's coming. 1 John 3:2 says, show you that we are God's children now. Beloved, now, not tomorrow, not next week, but now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed that what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Jesus and God the Father have a vision and have a huge family and have this huge family someday, and we're in that. We're in there at the beginning. God's giving you a chance of a lifetime, brethren. Jesus and the Father have a deep desire to have every single person in his family, and they want to see everyone make it someday. They don't want to see a single person ever perish, if that were possible. But we are made free moral agents, and we do live by our choices. You know, parents don't have children to go through childbirth and to watch them self-destruct, do they? Parents just don't do that. That's not why they have kids. They want to help them to have that opportunity. They want to bring them up. They want to uplift them. They want to work with them. They want to give them challenges and help them grow and to be good and godly people, especially God's people want that for their children. You know, God's investing a great deal in us today. And that investment will pay off huge dividends for those who are willing to respond and stay faithful with God through all of this. I want to emphasize, it's going to get harder. We need to get used to it. It'll get painful as we don't go along with the rest of the world. It's going to affect everybody in this room who decides to make the right choices. You know, we're at the doorstep. Now, God's planning for his future. Unfortunately, part of the plan could be that some will go through some very difficult and trying times. But God always knows what we're going through, and he's always there for us, and he has a plan for each and every one of us. And he warns us that that's a part of his plan. He does tell us that some of his saints will suffer. Some of us are going to go through some very trying times. But it's going to try our faith. It's going to be times where we have to show God what we're made of. But in order to do that, we have to have that close relationship with God. We have to do that. We have to be prepared. We have to be a people prepared. You can't just wish, just hope, because that's not how it happens. That's what the world does. They have false hopes. We take action. We have to take action, or we're not going to be prepared. And that's the key. And the glorious part of the plan of God makes it all worthwhile. We'll be leading the way behind Jesus Christ to the new good world order for new experiences that this world can't even imagine. But before that happens, there's going to be some horrendous events due to the horrendous sins of mankind. We have the opportunity to be a part of the solution, part of the success for all humankind, and once Christ returns for eternity. I think that sounds like a real great opportunity, a unique opportunity, especially for the few that really understand that God's opened their minds to. And as we'll see in the upcoming Day of Atonement, Satan will be put away not too long from now. And I believe that's why we're seeing the surge and some of the events that we're seeing in the world today. Satan's angry. He does not want to be put away. And that's what the Day of Atonement represents. He's stirring up people. He and his demons are stirring up people. They're stirring up events, violence, and protests. And the reason why they are violent is because they're tuned into Satan's wavelength. When you tune into Satan's wavelength, you see lawlessness because he's a lawless being. Don't go along with the masses. Don't drink the satanic Kool-Aid that this world's drinking. We can't buy into some of these movements. They have false fronts to them. There's a lot of agendas behind of a lot of people today. There's all kinds of agendas. You know, the sad part is some of us will fall, brethren, because they'll be too weak and they won't be able to stand the pressure. Don't let that be you. The pressure is going to be turned up. You know, Satan's coming at all humanity and God's people from a new direction right now, if you haven't noticed. I think it's something that none of us have ever experienced before. Quarantine, keeping us apart, all right? On the brink of civil war in our country, starting to lose our rights as Christians, he's hitting us from new angles that we haven't experienced this in the Western world. We're experiencing it now, and it's part of his agenda. He wants us. The world's going to go his way. He's got them. I mean, look at, turn on the news. You see the masses of people. Don't let them take us. You know, in God's kingdom, people won't have to grapple with the bad culture, tolerance of evil, bad government, ridiculously made man-made laws, and things that are contrary to all of God's ways. You know, we'll receive a better reward for being a part of the resistance. Joe talked about that, and I'm calling it the resistance. But our resistance is one of those that obey God. That's what the resistance is. It's not disobedience. It's obedience to God. That's how we resist. We're resisting the world. We're resisting Satan, the devil. You know, the resistance produces, that we have, produces love, and it doesn't harm. It will only produce good results and good things. It produces the following, and I'll just read this, Galatians 5. We all know it. Galatians 5, 22. This is what godly resistance produces. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I certainly don't see a lot of gentleness or self-control out there in the riots. Nor goodness, nothing. Actually, I don't see love out of it either. Those are the results of our resistance. And the Bible clearly states, you will know them by their fruits. I see the fruits of the world, and I see the fruits of God's people. And this is where I want to be. I don't want to be a part of that. It's going down fast. The challenge is at our door as God's people. Not that it wasn't at the door before, but now it's pounding on our door. It's no longer knocking. Will you stand before God someday, or will you crack under the pressure as things get worse? These are things I think we really need to ask ourselves, brethren. We can't hide under a rock. We have to think about these things. What will I do in a bad situation? I think it's a part of being prepared as a Christian in our conversation with God. I think when we're on our knees, I think we need to ask God for that strength, that courage, as things come at us. Our calling isn't a calling of compromise. It's one that lives by every word of God. We've been separated for a while. You know, I fear that some people have become weak. Remember, look, have the vision of your great calling. Keep that in your mind. God's designing your job for his kingdom through each day that you live. And that includes these days that we're living through now. He knows exactly what we're going through. This is designed as part of our plan. Did you ever think of that? This is a part of what God is working with you through. What are we doing during COVID? Are we living in a fishbowl, just sitting there waiting for things to end? And, you know, we're to be living godly lives each and every day. Are we out there? And I don't mean to expose yourself to COVID or anything like that. But I mean, there's ways you can reach out to people. There's things you can do to help others during this time. You don't have to just sit under a rock. We can do things. We can still be active. And we've had work parties here at the church. We've done things. Most of it was outdoors. We kept our distance. We did things, but we still did things together. We were producing. We were doing things. We were doing things for God's house, for God's people. Those are the good things. God still wants us to move forward. We're not to wait. I don't think we're ever to be waiting, sitting and waiting. There's things you can always do. You can send cards to people. You can give people phone calls. There's all kinds of things we can do. And we don't have to live in a world of isolation just because Satan's designed that and made it a trial to God's people for some. And we need to find ways to do the work of God. God's personally and uniquely working with us, but only if we do our part in drawing close to Him. So we need to draw close to Him during these times. We've had some extra time. At least some of us have had extra time to do things. Are we watching more TV or on the internet or more social media, or have we spent at least some extra time to draw closer to God? This world's ready to implode. I think it's time we draw closer to God. Are each of us continuing to do that job? You know, God's looking at how we do our job. Don't you love it? Like, have you ever had like a great day on your job at work and you feel like a million bucks when you're doing a good job and your boss comes to you, maybe you get an excellent promotion or a raise or something like that, and how great that feels? You know, that day is going to be like the worst day on the job in God's kingdom, because nothing's going to compare to our work. Do we realize the reward of this unique calling that each and every one of us have? I mean, sometimes I don't think we all grasp how awesome it's going to be. I mean, I've had some bad days at work, and I certainly selfishly I can't wait for God's kingdom. But it's not all about me. It's all about everybody. It's about all of God's children, and that's what we're going to be focusing on in our jobs in the future. You know, in God's plan, He sees the children through the futuristic lens. He sees every one of us, even the people that are out rioting, even those who are out looting. He still looks at them in a futuristic lens, not in our present weak and sinful state. Only God can grasp our full potential, because only He created us and will bring us to that fullness. God's going to bring us to that fullness someday, and that's going to be awesome, because we're not there yet, are we? We have a lot of issues. We're just mere flesh and blood today, and we have our warts and our blemishes and our flaws. But fortunately, God is always forward-looking. And, you know, He sets that example for each and every one of us. We need to be forward-looking, too. And that's how we can get through the tough times, is to be forward-looking. Be like our Father. He's setting that example. Be like Jesus Christ. That's what God does. He looks to the future. He's anticipating each and every one of us at our best. And each day, we should be reminded of that and add that to our daily prayers. Jesus Christ is investing in us every day, but we need to invest as well. It takes an investment for us as well. Our investment grows according to what we put back into this way of life. That's how our investment's going to grow. What are you putting back into the way that God's given us? If we put nothing into it, we're going to get nothing out. If we put a little into it, we'll get a little bit out. If we put a lot into it, put our all into it, where do you see the reward that's going to be waiting for you? Romans 2:6, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. He will render to each one according to his works. So we need to remember that, what we're doing. We need to be doers. Revelation 22:12, and I'm going to read this from the Holman's Christian Bible. Look, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, God's interested in creating a new person in each and every one of us. And the older we get, the more I think we can appreciate that idea of a new person. I know I have a few aches and pains. I have some back problems, but we need to be new spiritually. We can't stay the same way. That takes a personal surrender and a real surrender and commitment to God. You know, and I think in our Western societies, I think that surrender is kind of foreign to us. I don't think that we really grasp what surrender is. You know, our culture is not one to just give up and surrender. We're, especially in this country, most people are go-getters, and we're busy. We're always doing something. We're always active. And, you know, our history is one of rugged individualism and personal freedoms. I don't think we kind of grasp what it is to surrender. But, you know, God does tell us that we need to surrender. But his object is to make us a special creation. Surrender seems counterintuitive to us in the Western world, to making one unique. But with God, it's how we can reach our greatest potential. Not only is it possible, but in fact, it's required. So in order for us to reach that potential, we have to be committed and surrender to God. That's the only way we can reach that awesome potential. Let's turn to Matthew 16, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 16, 24 to 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his work." God didn't create you to just be another number. He didn't make you to be a government statistic. So we need to keep in mind that means that we're to be different from the world. He designed you and me the way that we are for a special purpose at this time. Do you know that he designed us for this time? Everyone in this room is designed for this time in history. You were born now for a reason. God called you now for a reason. We have a destiny. And that is in his plan. He's endowed us with his Holy Spirit to fulfill this purpose and this plan, and we need to be using that. We've been blessed to have a mind to see the things the world can't even see. They can't see it if they wanted to. They couldn't see this truth that God's given us even if they wanted to at this time. And again, just think of that. Almost 7.8 billion people are walking around this earth blind, but you have sight. That's a large number of people. They're just groping around and tripping over each other and hurting each other. As God's people, it's important. No, it's a requirement as a Christian to show respect and love for everybody. As a disciple of Christ, we must treat all people with respect and dignity. That is a requirement for us. We need to do that. And it should be in our hearts to want to do that for others. And we need to keep that in mind, especially during these times when the rest of the world is showing the hatred and working the way of Satan the devil and on the wavelength of him. Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." And I know I use that scripture a lot. That's a hard thing. And the reason why I do is because it's a hard thing for everyone to do, to esteem others better than yourself. It's something that we need to always keep in mind, and I don't think it ever hurts to keep reminded of that. Because that's a tough thing for everybody. We all have selfishness in us. Every one of us fight that. But to esteem somebody else higher than themselves is probably one of the hardest things to do in this life. You know, God's a God of all resources. In his kingdom, there'll be more than enough of everything good to go around. God created everything. He created matter from nothing. He'll give everybody what they need. They'll have the power to overcome. He has enough of his spirit. He can create mankind over probably billions and trillions of time. He would still have enough of his power to give to help people overcome and to be who they need to be in his family. you know, this uniqueness that we have requires humility. You know, yes, we're to be different, and it's good to know that we've been called out and to be special, but it has to be done with a humble heart. We need to be humble. We have to accept this way with humility, and there's nothing wrong with understanding and to be excited about having this great calling. I think that's one of the most awesome things that we have, being first fruits of God, just to understand what our great calling is and to be the first ones in His kingdom. But with that comes a lot of responsibility, comes a lot of work and a lot of effort. We're going to be the first among humankind, and we'll experience that spirit life. Never-ending energy, awesome health, peace, expanded minds, no more stress, no more pain. And God's looking forward to rewarding us with those things. And He wants us to be excited about it all. The calling, the reward. But again, we need to remain humble through all that. We have to learn to stretch and to put others before ourselves and to serve others. And it takes humility, humility, humility to do that. Let's turn to Matthew 20 and starting in verse 20. Matthew 20, 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something for Him. And He said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to Him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to Him, "We are able." So He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." That's how we're to be, brethren. We're to be in service of others all the time. That's how we're to have a mindset, that mindset of service. And here in Matthew, Jesus is telling them that you're unique. You're to be different, because the Gentiles were the ones that lorded it over. We're not going to lord over people. We're going to have humility, or else we're not going to make it in God's kingdom. We need to have that humility. We have to be humble servants. We should never have ulterior motives. You know, our calling isn't one of obtaining power, position, and to rule over others, to have status. That's the way of this world. That's what's happening now. It's probably a power grab. It's a change of power. We're not of that. We're not power grabbers. We're servers. We're to be like Jesus Christ. You see here where it says He gave His life, a ransom for many. Didn't just say those called today. That meant for all people. Jesus Christ gave his life for all those even behind us. We're just the first. We're not the last. There's going to be billions and billions of others. And that's great, because we're going to be able to help them along. Every nation, every person, everybody who ever existed, someday we'll have a chance to understand God's way. Our vision for the future shows us that we're not just 1 in 10 to God, and neither are the rest of His creation. There's a plan being worked out here, and it's being worked out here in this room right now. through his word. And the plan will bring about healing. It'll bring about cooperation. But we need to be displaying those attributes. It'll bring about peace and prosperity for those who decide to take action and make the correct choices among us. You know, God's Spirit will be poured out upon the earth someday, and he has plenty of that power to go around. You know, there's going to be something at the end of the 1,000 years. We're going to have a time of peace, and we're going to be helping usher that in. But at the end of the 1,000 years, there'll be this small gap, is what I'm going to call it, that's going to happen. After people experience God's way of life for 1,000 years, and I think as the generations come along, I think peace will gradually, it's not going to happen overnight, obviously. I think we all understand that people, none of us, have changed overnight, and neither will the people that we'll be working with in God's kingdom. It's going to take a gradual time. It's going to take a step-by-step thing, but as people are growing, it's going to be encouraging, and they'll be to be able to really experience God's way of life and to enjoy that. There's going to be this small gap at the end in Revelation 27 through 9. Now, when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is of the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. End of story, folks. That's what God does when people mess with his saints. God's not messing around. He loves you. He will protect you. It's not to say that we're going to go through some tough times, but in the end, that's what he has. Total protection for us. We have to prove our way sometimes, though, in this life. We have to show him that we'll stay with him no matter what. There'll be no partisanship in God's kingdom. People will learn from us how to work well together, because it'll all be about what's best for everybody. It's not going to be a selfish, rugged individualism like we have in this country. There's nothing wrong with doing things and doing things well, but God wants to see us sharing with others, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to be sharing our talents. It's not just talent for our own talent's sake. You know, where do you picture yourself at that time? Have you ever thought about that? Do you picture yourself in God's kingdom and working with other people? Do you have that vivid picture in your mind that you're changing the world? If we learn to meditate on these things, I think it'll help us strengthen through the times that we're going to have ahead. Create a clear vision in your mind to help you get that strength. You know, vision is imperative for a Christian. We have to have vision. We need to be looking forward to the things that are ahead of us. We can't be living in the past. That's shackles and chains. We have to be looking forward. Yes, we have to survive in the present, and we have to have action now, okay? We have to be doing things in the present. We need to have that forward-looking vision to keep us going and to give us that hope. We need to make this coming kingdom of God real. It needs to be a part of our thinking and meditation on a regular basis and perhaps daily as we move forward in this world. You know, God knows us intimately, and he knows what we're doing 24/7. He knows our thoughts. He knows our conversations. He hears our prayers. He knows our dreams, our desires, our hopes. And he cares. He even listens to our whinings. He has a lot of patience with us, doesn't he? We can be whiners sometimes. We try not to do that very often. But to him, we're one of a kind. There's no one else like you. No one. There's nobody like you. And God knows that because that's how he made you. He made you special. You're irreplaceable to God, and each one of you is a special project by his very design, no matter what your physical makeup is. What about your name? You're not just another John Smith. Sorry about that for the John Smiths out there. You know, we can't blend into a crowd with God. You can't. He sees every one of us. He knows us. There's a special identity of you with God. How do you think he keeps track of us at the resurrection? He's not going to lose track of you. He's going to know who you are. He has that identity. You are written in his book. God knows who you are. And we just saw where we were called saints in Revelation. And that's a special name in a category that God's placed you into. But you'll be given a new and unique name someday by God, and it's going to have some deep meaning. So he's going to rename each and every one of us, and that name will stick. The name that we have today is not who we'll be tomorrow in God's kingdom. It'll be a beautiful name. It'll be a name with deep meaning. Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Romans 8:18-25. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared of the glory which God shall reveal in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So you'll be revealed someday to this world, and they're waiting for us. The whole world's waiting on you. They just don't really know it yet. They just don't know it. They're in pain and they're seeking all the wrong remedies. You know, you just look at how people are trying to deal with their pain. They're over medicating, they're taking illicit drugs, alcoholism, sex. You name it, they're doing all the wrong things, and they're harming each other. They're harming people around them. But we're going to be those healers someday. Once the blinders will be taken off, and the deceiver, Satan, the devil will be taken away, pictured in that Day of Atonement, they'll begin to heal because they'll see and they'll desire through your example to want to live God's way. They'll desire that because of your excellent examples. Let's take a look now at what Luke has to say. Luke 16:10. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Luke 16:10. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. The New King James Version says it this way. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. You know, God's expecting great things from each and every one of us. He's expecting that now. He's expecting us to build character. He wants us to take that character. That's what we're going to be taking into his kingdom. No other baggage, just our character. No stuff, no gadgets, no phones. That's what we're going to be taking into God's kingdom, our character. And that's what he wants us to build now. 1 Peter 2:9, New International Version. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and I'm just going to emphasize this time, God's special possession. Why are we this special possession? Let's read on. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into the way, and not the way of this world any longer. We're called out for a special reason to declare God. We're going to make God known by our actions. They'll be able to see God working in every one of us. You know, we're to be a special and humble people at the same time. And, you know, that's not a natural thing, to be special and to be humble. So we need to remember those. So it's not wrong to feel special. I don't think so in this way. I think it's a good thing. So if we're special, doesn't that make us better? We can say yes and no. We can say yes and no. We have to know that it's a calling and that it's a gift. It's a special gift, and it's an opportunity, and it's a gift that we better not be squandering. let's act on it and show God our appreciation. You know, if we're not acting on that gift, we're not showing God how much we appreciate that what he's given us. He's given us a great deal. It's not something that we can do on our own. It takes God in us. Let's make sure that we're giving him that credit. You know, we have temptations and trials in this life that can seem almost overwhelming at times. And people living during the 1,000 years, will not have Satan to contend with like we did, except at the end for a very short time, as we read. You know, they'll be given the Holy Spirit and understanding after repentance and baptism, and they'll have us to help them and to guide them as well. In Revelation 26, it says, "Blessed and holy is he who hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, Jesus Christ, 1,000 years. So the first resurrection is a better resurrection. It comes 1,000 years earlier than the second resurrection. No more sickness and pain and death in our bodies, and we'll be those leaders in the wonderful kingdom of God. We'll be able to help our friends, our families, our co-workers, and those ancestors that we never even knew. What an opportunity that'll be from the generations before us. We'll be a part of ushering in a new era and a new day for mankind, for humankind, for all humankind. We'll usher in that new day. We'll show them the good things that God planned for them. And I believe that there'll be people that are resurrected out there that experience some horrible oppressions in this life. I mean, there are people who went through some horrible times. They were slaves. Some people who were suffering through the Holocaust, people who went through wars, people who lost their families in terrible tragedies. And once they see this, I think they're going to embrace God's way. So many people will run to this way who've had such horrible lives. So many of us have had lives like that. We didn't experience a lot of that in our lifetime. We've experienced some very prosperous times in America in our lifetime. But I think when some of those people from the prior times before us see what God is giving them and see what God's people are doing and how to live, I think they'll embrace God's way of life very quickly, especially after the horrible tragedies they've been through. So we're created now to accomplish good works and to do good things, which makes us a unique people in this world. Our world is selfish, and we're called out to be unselfish people. And that's unique in today's world. Now, Christians have a job to do every day. Every day that we wake, we need to be faithfully doing our job, working our job in the body of Christ and obeying and responding our Father as he guides us at home and at work and at school and in our neighborhoods. We all have to do our part to fulfill that. We all have an important function in the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 27, I think we all know this. I won't go through this, but it takes all parts of the body to work together in unison for the body to function correctly. So God expects each and every one of us to be a part in that body. We all have a unique calling in that not everybody does the same thing. We're all a different function of the body. Just think if the body part was over here and over here and over here, another one over here, it's not going to function. It doesn't work. It has to be together in one body in order for that body to work. And that's how Christ designed his church. So each of us have a place to make that body healthy and to make it function. God made you a unique body part. So you're one of a kind. When God created you, he broke the mold. And I heard that by many people when I was a kid. But there is only one of you. He did break the mold. There is only one of you. You need to understand how unique you really are. You know, even identical twins aren't truly identical. There's many differences even in them. God makes his point. Identical twins are not truly identical. You know, I believe most of you have heard of the human genome study, and Mr. Thomas talked a little bit about that, how unique the DNA is. And genome is by definition is what makes up a living genetic material. It's the entire set of heredity instructions for building, running, and maintaining an organism, or human, or any other life onto the next generation. The genome is made up of DNA. Genome variations are differences in the sequence of DNA from one person to the next. And just as you can look at two people, that's why I had you look at each other before this, and I know we're only seeing eyes today and maybe some bald heads, but some hair. But as we looked at each other, we saw those differences. Just as you can look at two people and tell that they are different, with the proper equipment, you can still look at the genomes and tell how different people are too. There's many, many differences. The unique differences in people are due to the genomes themselves being unique. These genome variations are uniquely yours. There are millions of differences between your genomes and the person sitting next to you. Millions. Every human genome is different because of mutations that occur occasionally in the DNA sequences. That happens when cells divide. So Satan has taken the beautiful differences that God created in each and every one of us, and he twisted it and used them to create hatred, to create envy, jealousy, oppression, and just a ton of other sins. I've seen it in violent riots recently. And we have this thing called hate crimes. Really? Really? Have you ever seen a crime of love? I've never seen that. I think it's ridiculous. That just blows my mind that people could just... All crimes are hate. When you do commit a crime, it's hate. You are not loving your fellow human being when you commit a crime against somebody. That's just nonsense. But that's how man thinks. A crime is a crime. A sin is a sin. So let's call it what it is. Crimes are never love. But hate and resentment, this is more than a two-way street. It's not exclusive to a single skin color. You know, there's prejudice between subtle shades of skin. And how absurd it is for people to be prejudiced against another human being. You know, Satan has truly deceived the human race. And that's how we need to look at it. We all come from one mother. We all come from Mother Eve. If she could see her kids now, I'm sure she'd ground them big time. But unfortunately, that grounding wouldn't work, so it's going to take God the Father to come in and step down. And it's going to be a scary time. It's going to take Jesus Christ to come here and step down. And it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary for these people because they are out of control. You know, as disciples of Christ, you know, we can clearly see that the word that we're to respect all of God's creation, every human being. That should be clear to every one of us. These are God's creations. They're of God. You know, he created these differences beautiful and wonderful. You know, God is a God of variety. He did that for a reason. He's a God of variety. You know, he created all the flowers. Look at the flowers that are out in front of the church. And as I drive down the road, I probably saw maybe, I don't want to exaggerate, but 25, 30 different species of flowers out there. I probably saw a dozen different birds on my walk this morning. You know, God is a God of variety. He did that for a reason. It's because he enjoys variety. He wants that. And there's functions too as well, climates and things. I mean, he made that. I mean, some of us are hairier than others because they live in colder climates. If you look at the Nords, I mean, some of these are some big hairy guys, you know? And so, you know, he made our differences functional. He made them for a reason. He made them for variety. And mankind takes them and degrades them. Of course, that's Satan inspired. Because this is God's beauty. There's beauty in variety. But mankind, again, drank the Kool-Aid, went down that path, doesn't appreciate God's differences, male, female, black, white, different shades, blue eyes, brown eyes, short, tall, skinny, heavier, whatever it is. But God made us all different. We all have a different makeup, don't we? You know, Who are we to disrespect what God created? How dare mankind? David knew how amazing God is. Psalm 139, verse 14. Let's see what he says in the Psalms about God's creating man, humankind. Psalm 139, 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God wonderfully made each and every one of us. You know, God acknowledged that, or David acknowledged that. He also said fearfully, I think that was out of how awestruck he was at how the human body functions. I mean, we're a complex machine that God made. I mean, we have so many complex things going in there. Man is still finding out and still does not have a clue. All right, we're still finding out so many things about the human body. That's why we don't have cures. Why don't we have cures for all these? Because we don't have a clue, people. We really don't. But God does. Jesus Christ just touched people, and he knew the cells, I'm sure, that were healed. He would know. He created us when he healed them. Our God is wonderful. He's amazing. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are created for good works. And you know, we're the ones who understand the scripture. The world doesn't get this. You and I are created for, he's talking to us. We're created to do good works. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not on the sidelines. We're in urgent times. I remember hearing in emergencies, I've heard people say, don't just stand there, do something. That's our call. Don't just stand there, do something. We need to do something. We can't just stand there. You know, we're his design. We're a divine design. Think of it that way. Not like the other creatures. We're not like the birds or fish or anything like that. We're a divine design. We can discern things. We can think things through. We can logically connect the dots. We're not a little programmed. We don't have a little program in there on how to build a nest or to build a dam or something like that. What we do is we have a small portion of God in us. He created us to try to think like he is. We're engineers. We're creators. We're builders. They only do it out of necessity. We even do it out of enjoyment. I think there's a reason for that. It's for our future. For those that have God's Spirit and have this blessed calling, you know, we're expected to take steps forward in a unique way because we know that we are gifted with the uniqueness being called at this time and having God's Holy Spirit. You know, the only thing, again, that we're taking out of this life is our character, and that's limited to what you do. It's yours. It's comprised of your actions and your decisions as we go through these days ahead. That's what you're going to take with you. It's something that we must develop and something that we have to take action on, but God's character is only building us with his Holy Spirit. And when we're using that, we can't take this knowledge that we have for granted. That's a requirement that we have. So what are you uniquely doing today? What did you do uniquely on this Sabbath day? Other than coming here, is there something that you uniquely did as a first fruit in God's family? Just something to think about. This is his unique day, and we understand it. Not too many people get this. That's a part of our calling. We're called out to be different. I wonder what those rioters are doing today. I don't know. But they're not keeping God's Sabbath day, and you are. because you have the mind that God's given you, and you understand that destiny that he's given each and every one of us. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read this from the ESV. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare. That means for the good, for the benefit. God's making plans that will benefit you. And not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The world doesn't know this either. You're reading that. You're one of the few that knows that. So he gives us these words of hope. Matthew 10:30. But even the hairs on your head are numbered. Now that's detail. That is detail. So when I brush my hair and a few fall out, God still knows how many I have. He knows everything about us. And again, he knows who we are, and he'll not forget any one of us at the resurrection, because he knows us that intimately. Now, individually, we have attributes that enable us to be identified uniquely for security purposes. You know, amazingly, we live in such a world that it has kind of come down to that. I work in the information technology security area for a corporation. And I've seen some amazing technologies. And it's very useful because of bad that goes on in this world. But a lot of these technologies are used so that we're not compromised. We're not compromised by bad governments, by bad organizations, by espionage, and just by greedy people, unscrupulous and terrorists. You know, people want to get a hold of money and things, and they try to hold people ransom in their computers and things like that. But there's some technologies out here that help us recognize how unique we are. And I thought about this when I was reading some of this and some of the things at work. But they have iris recognition. It's an automated method of biometric identification that uses mathematical pattern recognition techniques on video images of one or both of your irises of a person's eyes, whose complex random patterns are unique, stable, and can be seen from some distance. And there's retinal scanning is a different ocular-based biometric technology that uses unique patterns on a person's retina blood vessels and is often confused with the iris recognition. But iris recognition uses video camera technology with subtle near-infrared illumination to acquire images of the detail-rich, intricate structures of the iris, which is visible externally. Because of the unique details in the iris, this recognition process is highly accurate, especially when used with both eyes. That's God's creation in us. That's how God made each of us even more unique. You're not just one in 10 to God. We never were born to be just a number or to be a statistic on some obscure list where people don't care. But it's been revealed to a very few that we were created for more than just bumbling around on this earth. We were created to be part of the very family of God. We're an integral part of that plan to usher that in, to usher in a clean, bright, and new world. We're called to help make that happen with Jesus Christ at our lead. But first, some things must happen. It's not going to be rainbows and unicorns, unfortunately. Matthew 24:14. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there'll be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. We can ask, are we experiencing some of those now? Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I'm going to reread that. And you will be hated by all nations for not my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deliver many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. I'm going to read that again. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know, just as this world hates what God physically created through his creative mind, through the races, through gender, they're going to hate us spiritually. We're going to experience some deep prejudice. Romans 8:7, this is the reason. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And the mindset is violence and enrage at someone who is showing them the wrong way or the right way. So when we show them the right way, they're going to be angry with us. As they hear our message, people are going to resent it. They don't want to live God's way. They want to live their own way, man. I want to live my own way. That's the attitude. They've devised ways for acceptance of sin through our culture and even through legislation. It's sickening. And the Bible predicts deaths of some who are true to the faith. You know, this prejudice will turn on the true believers of God. Prejudice towards Christians, and we're seeing some of that now to some degree. We haven't experienced a lot of persecution yet, but trust me, it'll come. It'll come someday. You can see how the winds are changing. Unless God intervenes to make another change, I've seen him do it before. He's given more time. But I feel an urgency, and that's why I felt we should have this in the message today. But instead of outrage by our society because of the prejudice and the way they'll treat Christians, there'll be celebration. These people are going to celebrate at what happens to Christians someday. But it's only going to happen for a time. It'll only be a short celebration because God is just, and he'll take action for the murderers of his saints. He'll take action for those who harm God's people. The sins of this world will not go unpunished, and the prejudice and hateful hearts of humans and the rioting and the looting will come home to roost for the wicked. You know, there's always a price to pay for sin, and this one will be the day of the Lord. Zephaniah 1:14, and I'll just read it. You can turn there if you want to. Zephaniah 1:14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out, and the day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. Because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like the dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. You're unique. You're special. Someday the rest of the world will have the opportunity to be special too. I'm looking forward to that. I've been told in my career that I'm replaceable. And the fact is we are, well, every one of us are replaceable. However, God doesn't look at us that way. He looks at each and every one of us as being irreplaceable to him. He wants to make sure that each of us can be a success, and he's given us every opportunity, every resource to do that. We have the church, we have his people, we have his word, we have the Spirit of God in us. Each of us can be encouraging each other. He didn't leave us lacking in any way. We don't have an excuse to be lacking. You know, this is a positive message, I hope. I hope that you got the positive out of it, but it was serious. I hope we're uplifted by the awesome part of God's plan that you're created to be and how unique each and every one of you are, physically and spiritually at this time. You know, we have the opportunity to be a part of God's kingdom and a share in his plan and to help this world, and they'll experience a beauty and true happiness like they've never had before. We'll actually bring in a beauty and a way of life like it was meant to be at the beginning in the Garden of Eden. You know, this world needs that unique you so desperately. Are you up to the unique challenge? Or will you allow unexpected times and events to take it away? Be consistent, be strong, my brethren, and never, never, ever give up.